Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, it's Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for Hanks. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to You've Got Hanks. This is the podcast about Colin Hanks. My name is Rachel, and I'm very, very excited today because I have one of my favorite people in the entire world. She's one of my best friends, and I miss her a lot. She's my friend. It's Kathleen Sullivan!
Hello, I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. We met in film school, so our discussion today will be very smart.
We're off to a great start. Yeah, there's gonna be a lot about like the mise-en-scene and the I don't know other film terms.
Yeah, I don't know anything. I was like immediately I couldn't think of anything, so I said smart. You know, and today we are talking about Vacation from 2015, which has Colin Hanks in it, but yet again, he plays a very minor role. Blink and you'll miss him. But yeah, we're still going to talk about it because it's on his IMDb. I know the answer already, but had you seen Vacation before?
I had not seen Vacation before, and in fact, I have never seen any of the National Lampoon movies, not like out of any strong hatred or something. It was really just truly, I was looking at the list of them and just thought, huh, I have not seen a single one of these by chance, so I was a little worried for myself, but I think I figured it out. I think you don't need to see the first National Lampoon movies. There might be jokes that I didn't get, and there were things that were references that I could understand. Oh, this would be funnier if I had seen those movies before. But yeah, I don't think it impacted my understanding of the plot.
No, yeah. I didn't even know this was part of the National Lampoon Vacation franchise until
NLV, if you will.
Oh yeah. I didn't know until his name was Griswold, and I was like, oh, okay, because that's the Griswold family is the Vacation family. I don't know. I've seen the original Vacation movie, and then I've seen the Christmas one, the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. But I'm not a fan of any of them, mostly because of the same reasons why I had issues with this. I'm not a big fan of the, oh no, everything's messing up and we're all getting dirty and gross and we're all doing stupid things that are affecting other people. That's not my sense of humor, but.
No, I agree. I think of it as, I always call it secondhand embarrassment, and it just makes me cringe. Like the scene where they're in the hot springs, and I think it might've been in the trailer back in the day. So maybe that's why I already knew, but I was just looking at it and I was like, it's poop. They're swimming in poop right now. And it just, you know, the more that they're like rubbing it on their faces, it was too far. And it definitely was that humor where it's, it makes me cringe and it makes me just like want them to stop.
Yeah. Basically everything, even when she was, they go to like her old sorority and she does like this beer run thing and she's just puking the whole time. I'm like, this is not funny. This is just gross. I'm like thinking about how gross that actually would be. Just, so.
No, and I had a lot of logistical questions with this movie, which maybe is my own problem, but that was one of them was like, okay, she chugged this beer and then immediately threw it all up, but she was acting really drunk. And I was like, how did this have the time to hit your bloodstream? How are you acting intoxicated right now?
Yeah. You know, these are questions that I don't think we'll ever have answered. But
film really.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've already kind of dived into it, but in case anyone hasn't seen Vacation like us, the synopsis off IMDb is Rusty Griswold takes his own family on a road trip to Wally World in order to spice things up with his wife and reconnect with his sons. Is that correct?
That sounds like a reasonable synopsis. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think it works. I don't know if Wally World was a part of the original Vacation. It seemed like it was important, but I don't remember it. So, who knows? Also, I didn't remember a Rusty from the original, but I know that they had a son, so I guess that's him. But he's played by Ed Helms, which he wasn't originally played by Ed Helms. So if I was that kid actor, I'd be like, oh, dang it.
This could have been my big comeback. Although, yeah. I think I read that there were a few different Rusties over the... My tradition when I watch a movie is always as soon as I finish watching, I have to go read all the trivia on the IMDb page.
Oh, fun.
So there was a whole tidbit about how there were multiple Rusties over the years, and Ed Helms was not any of them. So yeah. he's a brand new Rusty for the new generation.
Yeah. Also, the daughter who in this is played by Leslie Mann, she also changed a lot. Because at one time she was Juliet Lewis, right? I think.
Yeah, that sounds
yeah.
right.
Yeah. So that was confusing. But of course, Chevy Chase makes an appearance as Clark Griswold, because I guess you have to have him in. But as we all know, that Chevy Chase is not as great as we all thought he was. I guess. I don't know.
Maybe a problematic person. Yes.
Yeah, you know. Also, there was a when he does show up and he does a bit, like, I guess he does cringe humor, that's him, but also he is more like, I guess, a physical humor. But there's a moment where he's like getting the guitar out of some case, and it's just like, this was probably not in the script, but Chevy Chase was like, I can do this funny thing. And it was just like, I was like, this is not funny. This is just you being really awkward. And I don't know if it works, but good for you. But yeah, they go on a trip because he's like, he's like, my family went on trips and I guess I need a reconnect with my family. And then there's a whole bit about their son, their oldest son, is being bullied by the youngest son for like, and he like, his biggest thing is he's like, you got a vagina, and it's just a lot of it's very offensive. And
it was, yeah. And then they tried to use the term gender fluidity as a joke, and it really bothered me. And yeah. I really just wanted to say, you know, what is the joke? Like, why is this funny? Can you explain where the funny part is? Is it just that gender fluidity is a humorous notion to someone? It just bothered me, that whole scene.
Yeah. I my biggest thing is everyone was always saying that like comedies are always going to like not age well. And I'm like, no, but you can write a comedy that does age well. You just don't have to have offensive jokes in it. Like, cat videos will forever be funny because cats are always funny and they're not offensive. So it's like, if, I don't know why I use that as an example, but it is an example. It's like, if cat funnies can be timelessly funny, is that even a word? Then we can make a whole movie that is very funny and doesn't offend anyone in like 5 years.
And there were moments that I like wrote them down because I just thought, oh, this was actually a funny part of this movie. I wish the whole movie had done this. And one of the first moments that made me laugh out loud, it was pretty far into the movie, unfortunately, was there's this guy, I think they're in Arkansas at the time, which that's part of my other, this was a logistical nightmare. I can't figure out what route they were driving, but anyway, yeah. They're in Arkansas and they asked this guy for directions and he had a rat on his shoulder. Christina Applegate said something about like, oh, I like your pet rat. And then he turned and saw it for the first time and screamed as like he had not realized there was a rat on him. And that was all it took. And I just thought that was so funny. That he has a rat crawling on him and just going about his day. Like, that is completely inoffensive humor. You don't have to insult anybody for it to be funny that this guy doesn't realize he has a rat on him.
Yeah, that was very funny. I did laugh at that point, and it did take me a long time to laugh, too. I think I also laughed, even though it wasn't good jokes, but I just find him very funny. But Chris Hemsworth, anytime he does a comedy, I'm just like, this man is so funny. And it's offensive because he's so good looking that it's unfair that he's charming, funny, nice. Like, he seems like the nicest person. And then, yeah, it's just not fair. It's not fair.
I think I remember an interview from the Ghostbusters that starred Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy, where Melissa McCarthy said something about how one day Chris Hemsworth pulled out a guitar and started playing and was really good at that too. And she started saying, stop, nope, no, you can't be good at everything. Put that away.
It's offensive. And then even like his Instagram posts are so funny, because he posted one of his kids the other day where they were wearing Thor costumes, and he said something about like, are my kids allowed to wear any other character? No. That was it. And I just thought that was fun. His humor, I'm so mad. But yeah, even though I'm not one to laugh at like dick jokes, because I just am so exhausted by them and I don't find them funny. But when he came into the room to point out like the remote control, and like he had like his whatever, his dick was showing, it was very funny, just like how he's like posing, because it's Chris Hemsworth and you can't help but to laugh at this man. And then the funny joke was when he left and Ed Helms was like, I can't believe he just had his abs hanging out like that.
That was funny.
That made me laugh. But yeah, this movie just had so much like gross humor, which is not my favorite, and then offensive, where the joke is that like you know, people are, I don't know. So I was like, mad, this isn't my cup of tea. Also, just like being aggressive for no real reason at all, I don't find funny. Like at the end when they beat up another family for the roller coaster.
Yeah, and all the employees and other families were just watching.
Yeah. Yeah. I just was like, is no one gonna intervene? No? Okay. This just happened. Okay. Also, I want to know this theme park's policy, because I know Disney's policy is as long as you're in line, even if the park closes, you still get to ride it, which is why everyone at the end of the night runs to like Space Mountain to get in line at like right at 8:59 or something. I don't know when the park closes, but yeah. So
I would also like to inquire, you know, as a theme park aficionado, I don't think I personally would arrive at a park 4 hours before it closes and that be the only day that I go to the park. If you're going to go for one day, I would arrive closer to when the park opens to ensure that this exact scenario doesn't unfold. But I guess planning wasn't supposed to be one of the traits that this family possessed.
Yeah. Also, everyone was under the impression that they were going to the airport that morning. And then he's like, no, we're going to the theme park because this is what we did. And they were all just like, okay. And then also, as much as they like, the whole goal was to get to this theme park to ride this one Velociraptor coaster thingy-mabobber, which came before the actual Velociraptor coaster thingy at Universal. They get there, and I know that that's the whole point, but it's a 4-hour wait, and they wait in it. I have never waited that long for a ride. I would never wait that long for a ride. It's not worth it.
And it didn't look like a ride that would be worth that many hours.
Yeah.
It was just a roller coaster. Just go on a different one.
Yeah. I was like, that theme park definitely has another roller coaster. And then, they get, of course, because everything bad happens, and they get stuck upside down for a very long time, which I'm also wondering, but how does that happen? Don't they have safety measures? can't you die if you're hanging upside down for hours? I feel like I would die.
And I just feel that pretty much any theme park would know how bad the press could be from something like that and would be like, oh, here's tickets to come back tomorrow and here's a hotel for the night and we'll pay for your flights. I just don't think that it would be a situation where it's, okay, we got you down, get out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, none of this movie made sense. But that's, you know, that's this type of movie. Is I don't think you're supposed, I don't, who is this for? Do you know who this movie is for?
I was thinking that the whole time. And just this whole, I don't know, the idea of the husband and wife needing to re-spark their romance and get their kids to get along. It just didn't see, like, that felt like a very different story from the humor that was going with it. Like, if anyone is going to laugh at this humor, it's probably going to be teenage boys. And I don't think they're interested in this storyline about Ed Helms and Christina Applegate rediscovering their love for each other in their marriage. Also, I would like to note, I point blank refuse to learn any of the characters' names. You said Rusty Griswold before, and I was like, wow, that's his name. So I'm just going to go with the actors' names.
Yeah. I have to admit, I didn't know his name either, but I am on IMDb. So that is why. But yeah, Ed Helms, Christina Applegate, older son, don't know who he is. And then younger son is what they are to me.
I actually recognize the older son because he, first of all, he was on the show Psych, which I think is, I'm maybe the only person to watch, but I love that show and everyone should watch it. And he also is on The Righteous Gemstones, which I just watched.
Oh, I need to watch that because I heard Joe Jonas makes an appearance.
He does. That's true. In multiple episodes. So you definitely want to check it out.
Okay. I just went on his IMDb and he was also in Licorice Pizza, which I have not seen. But I guess it's good because Oscars, right? I don't know.
We'll find out this Sunday.
But he has an ongoing storyline where he keeps seeing this one girl and then and his dad keeps, well, people keep messing it up for him. But I don't know. Like there was the one moment where it was really cringy where he was at the hot tub and she was there and they were like flirting. And then his Ed Helms comes out and he's like trying to wingman him, but not introducing himself as his dad. So he's just like flirting with his son and it looked really awkward and I was just like, oh no. But that moment did remind me of a Goofy movie because I was like, oh, Motel Hot Tub always reminds me of a Goofy movie.
See, that brought up more logistical questions for me though, because I already didn't understand what path the Griswold family was taking. How is this girl and her family, they're also taking this same weird road trip? Where are they going?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. But a lot of this movie did remind me of the Goofy movie, and it just made me want to watch that movie instead.
Probably not their intention, but
yeah.
It'll make us happy.
Yeah. Because also at one point they end up at the Four Corners because there's a scene where they want to go have sex on the Four Corners, which apparently a lot of people do. There's like a line of couples waiting and then all these cops show up. And this was funny, all the cops coming out. And but there were some jokes that I was like, okay. But overall, the idea of four cops trying to police the Four Corners is a very funny concept. It's funny. Yeah. And then also all those actors are very funny comedians.
Yes. There were very good cameos in this movie, which I guess is kind of what Colin Hanks ended up being. He was in the first scene of the movie. So I really thought like we've established one of our main characters and then he was gone.
Yeah. I really thought he was going to come back. Because his name, I think, in the credits is Jake. He gets, like, a full name. Okay, so we'll talk about Colin because that's what this podcast is about. So the movie starts with Ed Helms' character is a pilot. This was also a very funny bit where, not very funny, but it was funny where this older man that he works with, the other pilot guy, he's like, thank you so much for sticking up for me. And he's like, yeah, no problem. And he's like, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. And he's like, okay. By the way, thanks so much for sticking up with me. And he's like, okay. And then it's a funny joke because this old man keeps forgetting things. And he's bad at his job. But anyways, Ed Helms goes out and then he sees Colin Hanks and his family sitting in the front row. And his son is like, oh my gosh, it's the pilot. So he's like talking to them, but then they get turbulence. And then Ed Helms falls on top of the wife and touches her inappropriately. And then at one point he falls down. And this is what really was like, he falls down and his head falls into the little boy's lap. And I was like, this is not funny. This is very offensive. But yeah, Colin Hanks is there. He's the dad.
He also gets touched inappropriately at one point.
Yeah, he does. The whole family gets touched inappropriately. I just wouldn't have the kid part was where I was like, oh no, I'm not gonna like this movie. But because Colin Hanks has a name, I was like, oh, he's gonna come back. He's gonna be like, you're that man who groped my wife or something like that, and he never does. And you know, this is just an ongoing trend with Colin Hanks movies where he shows up for like a second and then that's it. And I was like, why did I watch this? I guess maybe he's just friends with a lot of people and so he gets all these like little bit roles and things, maybe, I don't know. But Colin, you should star in more movies.
If that's what you want to do. Maybe he enjoys this, you know?
Yeah, it is good work. He probably gets paid a lot because he's Colin Hanks, you know, so he just shows up to set for one day and does like a really easy, like, you don't have to memorize too many lines. And you get to hang out with your friends and then you leave. You grab some bagels from the crafty table and you leave, you know.
That's my perfect day.
I know, right? So, you know what, Colin, never mind. You do you. I don't think he's trying to have like an amazing legacy like his father because, you know, he's like, I'm never going to top winning 2 Academy Awards back to back. I'm just going to have fun, you know, and do things that I like. Can you see, you know what, Colin? You're smart. Okay, never mind. I take it back. Colin, good job. But for the sake of this podcast, I would like him to pick more interesting roles.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, speaking of Colin, what is your favorite Colin Hanks movie or TV show?
It's funny because the first thing that popped, I'm going to go with my instinct. The first thing that popped into my head was Jumanji, which I have such a soft spot for that movie. I guess all of the Jumanji movies. I mean, I grew up with the Robin Williams movie and I really thought when I saw the reboot, oh, it's gonna be lame, it's gonna be whatever, and it ended up being so good and just sweet. Yeah. And funny, and Colin Hanks was such a surprise. I had no idea that he was in it and it just made my heart happy. And so I, for that reason, I'm gonna give it to Jumanji because it was like the appearance of Colin Hanks was such a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. It just,
I'm gonna award that my favorite Colin Hanks appearance.
It's a good movie. I haven't seen the second one, but I think he's also in that one.
He is. I think he has a slightly larger role in the second one too. I don't know. I watched them both in a row, so I might be conflating some of the scenes, but either way, he is in it.
Wow, well, I can't wait. I remember
to come back for the podcast on that film.
yeah, you're welcome to come back. I'll have you on for both Jumanjis. We'll talk about it. It'll be fun. I was surprised because it was like also the spoiler for that episode, his character is also Nick Jonas, so it's like two of my favorite people are the same character.
I think that the whole Colin Hanks is Nick Jonas thing, that's gonna be really weird to hear out of context for anyone who has not seen the movie, but yeah. It works.
Yeah. And you know what? Go watch the movie. And then you'll understand when we talk about it on this podcast. Because I don't think anyone actually watches the movies. So it's probably a very confusing conversation. But it's still fun. But yeah. This movie, I was like, oh, this looks fun. Also, Chris Hemsworth is in it. So maybe I was like, oh, maybe Kathleen would like that. Because, you know, you work for Marvel. And so, I don't know. I feel like anyone who likes Marvel likes Chris Hemsworth. Who couldn't, you know?
I think people who don't work for Marvel also like, I might be biased, but I think all people should like Chris Hemsworth.
I mean, who wouldn't like him, right? He's so amazing. And honestly, even though, you know, there were some gross parts and his character was not a great person, I still loved every minute that he was on screen. And I was like, let's go back to Chris Hemsworth. But yeah, because there's a moment where he has a cannibal cow and then they kill a cow. And then, yeah. And then his member showing and he's not great with his wife. Like he doesn't want her to work. She keeps like being like, well, maybe I could get like a part-time job. And he's like, nah, while I'm alive. And it's just, I don't understand that. But then he's also a meteorologist, which is very funny. Just a funny detail. I don't know. But yeah, he's great. So I was like,
I love Leslie Mann, who plays Chris Hemsworth's wife that, you know, you just said she's always trying to get a job. Yeah. I have loved Leslie Mann forever. I just think she's so funny. And I think that she's another one like Chris Hemsworth, where just by virtue of being on screen, I'm like, oh, this is great. Leslie Mann is here. Not that I don't think that with the other actors, but I just have been such a fan of hers for so long that it was exciting to have scenes with her. And I kind of wish that both of those characters had been around for more of the movie.
Yeah. Honestly, I wish it was their movie and then they just go see Ed Helms and Christina Applegate, but yeah, whatever. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Leslie Mann and I'm so excited that, Mon Apatow is having like a moment because it's like watching Minnie, Judd, and Leslie, you know, and I like it. You know, nepotism aside, I love it.
I mean, you know, nepotism can work out sometimes. It worked out for Colin Hanks.
Yes. So we are pro that, except for when it's the case of Chet Hanks. We are not pro that, you know. There's moments where it works. So, Mon Apatow, yes. Chet, no. That one girl who is Leah Thompson's daughter, who's in everything, we like.
I have no idea who that is.
She, oh gosh, what is her name? She was in the Set It Up movie on Netflix. Did you see that?
Yes, of course I saw that.
Yeah. That
Leah Thompson, like from Back to the Future?
Yeah. Her daughter, Zoe Deutsch, that's her name.
She's Leah Thompson's daughter?
Yeah.
My mind is blown, first of all. Second of all, see, that's how you know it works, because they're also just talented on their own merits, these ones that we say we like.
Yeah, because you didn't know. Also, I really do love Lily Collins. And you know what? I'm going to say it. I like Emily in Paris, even though I know that it's not great. And I hate the fact that it's supposed to be Emily and Perry, but you know, whatever.
Not calling it that. It's
yeah.
That's like how the creator of the GIF says it should be pronounced GIF. And maybe this isn't the right time to get into this debate, but it's not GIF. I don't care that you created it. It's GIF.
Right? You know, once you put something out into the world, it's you no longer own it.
Everyone not yours anymore.
Yeah. Sorry. I know that you technically created it, but we own it now. Especially millennials, because apparently we use them too often. But I'm going to keep sending GIF reactions to everyone all the time.
Me too.
Well, this movie was directed by Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daley, which, I don't know if you I know John Francis Daly is what's his face from Freaks and Geeks.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonathan Goldstein, doesn't he do something with, he does a lot of stuff too. I don't know. Anyway, clearly this was written and directed by two white men. but yeah, you know, it's, who would you recommend this movie to?
I don't know. Like I said, I think teenage boys might find some of that cringy humor funny.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people who are big fans of the original Vacation or National Lampoon movies, because I think there are a lot of references that I think Wally World is a reference. I know, spoiler alert, the car they end up driving at the end is a big thing. So maybe if someone was really into those movies, they would find the references like nostalgically funny.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm looking at the IMDb. Yeah, the car was obviously a reference, and the reveal was funny where he opens the door and everyone's expecting the car and it's not, and he's like, oh, wrong door. You know, I actually one time I remember seeing someone had that car at Disney and my dad pointed out and he's like, oh, look, it's the Griswold family car. And I was like, what? But I guess you can rent it. People can rent that car for their family vacations. Fun. Anyway, yeah, the car. So, yeah, I guess people who like the National Lampoon's Vacation, the NLV, as you said, franchise, then they'll enjoy this movie. But yeah, now I'm looking at Randy Quaid. I was expecting Randy Quaid to make an appearance, but apparently he didn't make an appearance because he was arrested. which
it's usually a pretty good reason to bow out.
And then I didn't really know. Oh, okay. And then also Anthony Michael Hall, Ethan Embry, and Johnny Galecki were offered roles to reprise. Were offered to reprise the role as Rusty, but instead Ed Helms. They also considered Will Ferrell for the role. I don't know. I feel like Will Ferrell would have been fun.
He would have been funny. I understand that those other actors were all originally Rusty in various things, but I'm not seeing any of them playing this version of Rusty.
Yeah. Because this one, he took on, this Rusty took on more of a Chevy Chase doing cringy things when you know that you shouldn't, whereas they seem too smart for that. Whereas Ed Helms plays stupid, you know, like naive kind of, I don't know. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it just seemed like he took on the role of the embarrasser instead of the embarrassee.
Yeah. Cause they all have like, I'm embarrassed energy. Whereas Ed Helms has the, I'm doing something embarrassing and don't know that it's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, also, the white water rafting scene I thought was, I don't know. It's just, that's Charlie Day, right? I think he's funny.
He is really funny. And that was one moment that he basically, we're allowed to spoil as much as we want, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know people are really worried about spoilers from this comedy from 2015. Yeah, so Charlie Day's character is the whitewater rafting guide. And just as they're about to go out on the water, his fiance calls him and very clearly dumps him out of the blue. And the scream that he lets out, it's this like very long scream cry. And obviously that's the type of thing that in real life would not be very funny, but in this context was hysterical to me.
Yeah.
And then he just stands up and smiles and is like, okay, let's get on the boat. That was,
and then also like he gives a whole spiel before that where he was like, I just got my license. Just kidding. I've been doing this for 4 years. And it's just like that really does seem like the kind of like humor. And I put that in quotes that, you know, like those vacation tour guides usually give. So that was funny.
And then all of the actual whitewater rafting was a montage, kind of slow motion and set to, I forget what song, but I liked that choice because it was so much funnier to me than if I had to watch all these mishaps unfold the same way as the rest of the movie, where I have to go through every excruciating moment of someone doing something terrible. This was definitely the funnier way to go.
Yeah. No, I thought about that too. I was like, I wonder if they chose to do this stylistically, or maybe the sound wasn't great and so then they did this instead. But I think it worked really well and I liked it better because then I was like, I don't have to hear their jokes, which I think is better. You know,
because this really speaks to what Rachel and I thought of the humor of this movie. We're like, okay, yeah, stop that and just set it to music.
Yeah But then when he does fall off down the waterfall, it's like you can hear him hitting different rocks. And I was like, oh, no, he's definitely dead. And then when they're in the car later, they all look like shocked. But then later at the end of the movie, it's revealed that he didn't die because there's like a photo of him. But then it's revealed that he's like looking at a bear. Yeah, that was funny. It's that ending with the photo reveals reminded me of Haunted Mansion with the stretching portraits. Yeah, that was smart. Gosh, is there anything else that you wanted to say about this movie?
I wanted to give a PSA regarding the younger child because I think he was a serial killer in the making. Please don't raise your child this way. Please set boundaries and punish your child when he is, I don't know, every scene just made me think he was definitely going to commit a crime as soon as he had the capability.
Yeah. I mean, he already started. He was like suffocating people with plastic bags.
The whole joke with him was just that he was foul-mouthed and bullied his older brother, and I don't know, again, that was something where I was like, oh no, this isn't funny. He's gonna kill someone.
He really bothered me a lot. I was like, I can't deal without this. I mean, I thought the older son, I liked his character because he was that like innocent type, I'm just dumb, you know. But yeah, the younger brother really bothered me, and I was like, he's why is he like this? He's not a real person. But I guess there are people like that out there and we should be worried about them.
Well, and they kept making fun of the older brother. I remember when they were packing up the car to leave on their road trip, he had this stack of journals and was like, this is my diary and this is my dream journal and this is going to be my travel log. And they were kind of acting like he was the weird brother. And I was like, I'm sorry he's emotionally intelligent and in touch with feelings. Meanwhile, the younger brother is suffocating people with plastic bags and everyone is just, tee-hee, boys will be boys.
Yeah. This is why it doesn't age well, because as we get older, we think that the older son, he was supposed to be the unusual character, but really he's the straight man, you know. But anyway, yeah. PSA, yes, you're correct. Anyone who raises their child like this should just, in general, I think a lot of parents should pay more attention to their kids because, as we said, we're both theme park people, and there have been times where there are kids just like hitting me in line and I'm like looking at their parents like, are you gonna say anything? And they just are like, they don't say anything, but then I give them a look and they're like, stop. And it's like, that didn't do anything. Whatever. I remember one time I accidentally tapped on a stranger's shoulder thinking that it was my mom and it wasn't, and I was so sick to my stomach that I accidentally touched another adult that I was sick for the rest of the day. So the fact that these kids just feel okay to kick me in line, there's something wrong with kids these days.
See, and this is why it bothers me when people act like millennials are still the young, annoying generation, because we are now the type that is saying there's something wrong with kids these days.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's wrong with the kids. I think it's the parents that are wrong. We got to go straight to the source. Parents these days. But yeah. No. Yeah, good. This movie is teaching us so many lessons about life. Okay, is there anything else that you wanted to say about this movie?
No, I think we've covered pretty much everything. We didn't cover the amount of seal that is in the movie. There is quite a lot of seal, which is excellent. I think.
Oh yeah.
One Kiss by a Rose comes up a lot, and I was happy with that. So maybe also big fans of that song this movie will appeal to them.
Yeah.
Find a fan base for this film.
And then I forgot that's from the Batman Forever soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Until they said it. And then it also reminded me of the episode of Community where they sing the song at karaoke. It's just, you know. And then Seal makes an appearance at the end. And I wonder if it was actually, I mean, obviously it was Photoshopped. But I was like, I wonder how they got his approval. By the way, we reference you in the movie, and can we use your picture at the end? And he's like, okay, go for it. I don't know.
I assume that is actually verbatim how the conversation
yeah, go for it.
And we're both giving each other the thumbs up right now in case that's not clear in the podcast. Go for it.
Yes, Seal, great. I love when there's like a musical reference in movies. Okay, well, for this season of You've Got Hanks, I'm making my guests design a Hanks kerchief based on the movie they saw. So if you don't know, Colin Hanks has a line of handkerchiefs called Hanks kerchiefs. So they look like bandanas, but apparently they're not bandanas. Like, he's very adamant they're not bandanas, but they look like bandanas. Anyway, so if you had to design a handkerchief based on Vacation, what would it look like?
For clarity, it's about Vacation not involving Colin Hanks, or should Colin Hanks's role be involved?
If you feel inspired to put Colin in there, you can, but you don't have to. It's just the movie Vacation in general.
Okay. I feel like, honestly, because of the Seal song taking such a prominent role, I do want there to be a rose on this Hanks. Oh. I feel like that'll add some some beauty to the entire rest of the Hanks kerchief would have to be very cringy, and I don't know how to accomplish that, but I'm thinking like rude drawings. There was a moment that made me laugh where it was in the scene with Chris Hemsworth, and there was some kind of dick graffiti, and he just muttered under his breath like, oh, I don't like that. And so I think maybe like, you know, a dick drawing would kind of sum up this film really well. Maybe like just some national landmarks, but they didn't, I guess other than the Four Corners, they didn't visit anything really famous, did they?
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm like thinking. They went to Memphis to that college, right?
Yeah. So, oh, maybe like, you know, we can stitch on a little beer patch or something for that scene.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, it's a tough one. There's so much packed into this film, and none of it really screams handkerchief to me.
Yeah, yeah. But I will say, having a drawing of a dick, that's the second time that's come up as a handkerchief idea. So maybe that's just like a thing that is more on Colin than it is on you know.
If he's looking to introduce an X-rated line, in the Jeeps. You know, program.
Yeah. Okay, another thing that I'm making people do this season is take a BuzzFeed quiz loosely based on the movie that they saw. So today, I will be having you take the quiz. We'll reveal your dream summer vacation based on your answers to these questions.
Ooh.
What a fun title. Okay, first question. Pick a view to wake up to. And these are photos. So for the podcast, I will describe them to you. Okay, so this looks, the first one is like a beach, like a very blue beach, white sand. And then the next one is like a lake. And it looks like there's mountains in the distance. Then the third one is like a mountainy cabin looking thing. And then the next one is like a sunset and it looks like a pond, maybe. I don't know. It's smaller than a lake. And then the next one is like a wine vineyard at sunset. And then the last one is like tropical mountain thingy, like a rainforest.
Mm. I'm torn between the first two because I love a good ocean or lake view. I think I'm going to go with the ocean.
Okay. Ocean is nice. Okay. Pick a breakfast. Scrambled eggs, tropical fruit salad, chicken and waffles, pancakes and bacon, breakfast tacos, or Greek yogurt.
Breakfast tacos.
Ooh, fine. Okay. Pick an activity. Hiking, safari, swimming, wine tasting, yoga, or fly fishing?
Definitely safari.
Ooh, fun. And there's zebras. Okay, pick something for lunch. What is that? Niqua salad? Is that a thing? Did I say that
right?
Oh,
yeah, like tuna niçoise.
Oh, that's it. Niçoise salad. Sorry. it's so fancy. Burger, poke bowl, grilled cheese, grilled octopus, or burrito bowl.
What a wide variety. I love a good poke bowl. Let's go that direction.
Yeah. Okay. Pick an afternoon activity. Surfing, horseback riding, sunbathing, spa day, bike riding, or reading.
I love to read on vacation.
Yeah. And this person's in a hammock. So that's
that
fancy.
Sounds cozy. Yeah.
Yeah. Pick a pre-dinner drink. Pina colada, beer, lemonade, rosé, fresh fruit smoothie, or whiskey.
Pina colada.
If you like pina coladas.
Just gonna say.
Okay, pick a dinner. Rice and beans, curry chicken, ratatouille, steak, seared tuna, or souvlaki? Souvlaki? Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
S-O-U-V-L-A-K-I.
Yeah. Souvlaki.
Souvlaki?
Yeah, I think it's okay. Greek.
Okay. Yeah, it looks Greek. I'm not very cultured, as we can tell by this.
We just had a chicken souvlaki thing at my high school.
Ooh, fun.
That's cultured. But no, I am going to go with ratatouille.
Ooh, fun.
I feel like I'm really going to mess with the algorithm here.
Okay, finally, pick something sweet. Pear tart, coconut cream pie, ice cream sundae, flan, chocolate cake, or baklava.
Baklava.
Ooh, fun. Okay, you got Kruger National Park, South Africa.
Ooh.
Yeah. Have you ever dreamed of taking... Oh, sorry. Oh. Okay, let me start that over again. Have you ever dreamed of taking the adventure of a lifetime? Now is the time. Go on an incredible safari trip in Kruger National Park. As you drive around in a 4x4, you'll see everything from lions and jaguars to giraffes and zebras.
You know what? I'm taking this as a second sign. I've been watching Ewan McGregor did these motorcycle documentaries with his best friend, and they're all on Apple TV. So I've been watching them. And in the season that I just finished, they went They started in Scotland and drove all the way down to South Africa. And ooh. I was just sitting and watching it and thinking how amazing it all looked. And now this BuzzFeed quiz is also telling me to go to South Africa. I'm just saying it's a sign that I intentionally was looking for because I want to go to South Africa, that I should go to South Africa.
Well, there you go. You should go on a vacation to South Africa. Take a picture of a zebra for me. well, that, so that's it. But the final thing we do is we rate the movie. Okay, so out of 5 Colin Hankses, how many Colin Hankses do you give Vacation?
I'm going to say 2. There were some moments that made me laugh. I found things to enjoy in it, but I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, you're right. I will also say 2 Collins. I think this movie is offensive at times and not funny, but there are moments where I'm like, oh, that would have been funny, or, you know, oh, that's funny because they're not saying anything, you know. And then also I give it 1 Colin for Colin and then another Colin for Chris Hemsworth, so that equals 2 Colins. So 2 Colins, there we go.
So now Colin Hanks is not only Nick Jonas, he is also Chris Hemsworth. He's really doing well.
He's doing great. Yeah, honestly, gosh, even though this movie is bad, I enjoyed it because Chris Hemsworth was in it. So I'm like, maybe I should just watch every Chris Hemsworth movie.
I'm also available for that.
Yeah. Though I don't know if I could do all the action-y ones. Honestly, this man should just do comedies. He's really good at being funny. So
he is really funny.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, okay. Well, where can people find you? Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I don't know that I need to plug anything. If anyone wants to find me, Rachel and I follow each other on Instagram. I'm at @Kat_Sullivan. But I don't think I have anything that I'm promoting right now.
Okay. Just life.
Just life. Just, you know, I'm promoting the song Kissed by the Rose by
Or, you know, if someone wants to help fund your trip to South Africa.
Yes, please do. I accept donations of all kinds.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest today and talking Vacation. Again, sorry for making you watch this movie, but I'll have to have you back on for Jumanji.
Well, thank you for having me, and don't apologize because it gave us a chance to have a really fun conversation together, and I will look forward to Jumanji.
Yeah. And it was a smart conversation because we're both film school students.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Well, thank you for listening. Oh, wait, no. Yeah, thank you for being here. And thanks for listening. Okay. Bye.
It's a Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, it's Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks.